have given. Father, you have given precious gifts from heaven, equipping us to serve you as you move upon. You prepared us for this hour and anointed us with power for humble acts of righteousness. We freely volunteer to do your work. Ambassadors of reconciliation. Preaching the good news, Jesus Christ, good news. Praying for the increase of your kingdom. Piercing the darkness in your light. Not to us, but to you, the all the praise. Glory of your grace, we will lift up your standard for the honor of your name.
Mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. Healing one by your Spirit the torn and divided.
For thee,
have mercy. May the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. Abitha is going to come and bring us our Bible reading.
Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we pray you'd help us to understand it today. Amen. Now, I want to ask you guys some questions, if that's okay. As you're here, it's all age service, and as there's no other children here, I'm afraid you've got to do all the work. Is that okay? Right, so I want you to think about, are you three good at saying thank you? Is that general agreement from everybody else? They're good at saying thank you? Yeah, good, excellent. So tell me, when do you say thank you? Why would you say thank you? You could say thank you. If your nan gives you a birthday present. Yeah, brilliant. Any other times when we would say thank you? Sorry? We do say thank you to God. Yeah, absolutely. We'll come to that in a little bit later. Yeah? Yeah, excellent. Any other ideas? When do we say thank you? Okay, and why is it a good idea to say thank you?
It's a great idea to say thank you because it's manners and it's
It's good manners, is it? Yeah. Okay. Great. Right. It's really, really helpful. Thank you. So in our story today, we've got one person who says thank you and nine people who don't. And so it's good to think about what makes us say thank you and why do we say thank you. So here's Jesus. We're told he's on the border between Samaria and Galilee. So there was a divide between the Samaritans and the Jews. And actually they used to be one people, but after King Solomon died, the kingdom split in two. Two tribes in the south formed the kingdom of Judah, which was the territory that Jesus came from, and that's where the Jews lived. And the northern kingdom became the Samaritans. And as the centuries went by, and they were both occupied by foreign powers and exiled to various places, and they basically diverged. By the time we get to Jesus, the Samaritans' culture and way of doing things was quite different from the Jews. So even though they were originally one people, they'd become quite different. And one of the things we know, isn't it? Sometimes we're a little bit suspicious of difference. Some people are different from us. So the Jews and Samaritans didn't really get on. Galilee, because it was on the border, was very mixed. So there were quite a lot of Samaritans who lived in Galilee. That's why it was sometimes called Galilee of the Gentiles by the Jews. So it wasn't uncommon to have a village where Samaritans and Jews would have been living. And this is the situation here. And outside the village, there are 10 men who have leprosy. Now, leprosy was in the New Testament is a name given for all kinds of skin conditions. But true leprosy is a very serious disease. And in order to stop the infection spreading, people who had leprosy had to live outside the village on their own. They weren't allowed to have contact. It's a bit like what we're going through at the moment, yeah? And so it was quite hard being a leper, having leprosy. It was really tough. You wouldn't have access to your friends and family very often, and with that would often come a certain amount of poverty, because your family was the only, being part of a family was the way that you were looked after. There wasn't any social security system or anything like that. So leprosy wasn't just a disease, it was pretty much a life sentence. Life sentence of exclusion and stigma. Yeah? People didn't like people with leprosy very much because they were scared of the infection. And often, you know, they weren't able to look after themselves that well and so on. So when they hear that Jesus is coming, wow, they know that Jesus heals people. They would have heard. This stage in Luke's Gospel, it's quite late on. They would have heard all about Jesus. His stories of him healing people would have gone everywhere. So when they hear that Jesus is coming, this is their chance. They stand at a distance because they know that they're not supposed to go near people. At least 2 metres, I'm sure. And they call out, don't they? Have pity on us, Jesus. Have mercy. It's a desperate cry, isn't it? You know, they really are in a mess. Jesus does what the law says, which is that if you think that you are free of your leprosy or free of your skin disease, you have to go to the priest to get it checked out. So that's what Jesus tells them to do. And as they go, they are cleansed. They're completely healed. And that was amazing because at that time, now we know how to cure leprosy, but at that time they didn't. So this is an amazing healing. But only one of them comes back to thank Jesus. And that's the Samaritan. Jesus, as we can see, addresses that head on. Were not all 10 clean, cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise except this foreigner? Well, the problem, you know, it's quite a condemnation, isn't it, of those 9 people who didn't come back to say thank you. I guess they were really excited. They probably went back to their families and said, look, I'm free, I'm cleansed. And they were catching up on life, I guess. You can understand that they, in the excitement, they might have forgotten to go back and thank Jesus. But the thing about the Jews was that they should have remembered, because theirs was a culture in which giving thanks to God was an incredibly important part of their faith. They used to make thanksgiving offerings. That was one of the kinds of burnt offerings that were made at the temple, specifically to say thank you to God for everything that he does. The Old Testament scriptures are full of hymns giving thanks to God, and stories where people give thanks to God because of what God has done for them. So with all that in their, you know, in as part of who they are, these nine Jewish people with leprosy, or who had leprosy, really should have gone back and said thank you. But somehow, it didn't quite happen. Whereas the Samaritan has a fresh understanding of who God is and what God has done for him. And it's interesting that the phrase Jesus says to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well, could also be translated, your faith has saved you. I wonder if this Samaritan became a follower of Jesus. Christians then, like the Jews, should be people of thanksgiving. That's one of the things that should mark us out. We should be like the one man who came back, not the other nine. Because we have so much to give thanks for. Think about what we believe. We believe that this whole universe was created by God. And so everything in it, all of its beauty, all of the things that we eat, that give us sustenance, the water that we drink, everything that we have, we believe it comes from God. That's what we as Christians believe. But it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God creating it, and the Bible tells us, by him sustaining it day by day, by keeping it going. So that's the first thing. Secondly, we believe that the Bible tells us a story about a God who loves us. So that the last thing he created was us, human beings. And that he made us so that we could love him and have a relationship with him. We know that goes wrong, doesn't it, in the garden. But God won't let go. And we have throughout the Old Testament people who God calls back into a relationship with him. Because he wants to human beings to live with him as their king. So we can thank God that we have, that he loves us and he has a relationship with us. And that relationship is sealed by sending Jesus. We can thank God that Jesus was a great example. We can thank God for Jesus' great stories that he told. But above all, we thank God that Jesus went to the cross for us and died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, because he was paying the punishment for our sins. And we thank God that Jesus rose again, showing us that new life with God after death was what we had to look forward to. And it's not just that, is it? God gives us his Holy Spirit. When we put our faith in Jesus, we have God's Holy Spirit living in us, helping us to read his Bible, helping us to pray, guiding us, strengthening us, giving us gifts to build his kingdom. And we can thank God that he's given us each other, the church. It's really good, isn't it, that we can meet together at the moment. I know that we've been meeting, lots of churches are meeting together virtually, and we've done some of that as well. But actually, there's no substitute, really, is there, for meeting together and seeing each other again. Because we are family, we are God's people. God has given us each other so that we can encourage each other, so that we can look after each other, so that we can love each other. So even if we have a really bad day, and I hope that you don't have many really bad days, Even if everything goes absolutely pear-shaped, you've still got this long list that I've just gone through of things that you can thank God for. You can do that first thing when you wake up in the morning, before your day even starts, because all those things are true 24/7. And then when we pray to God, and when He answers our prayers, and when He starts to bless us in various ways, then we can have specific things to thank Him for. So as Christians, that's who we should be. People of a continual, consistent thankfulness. Steady, consistent gratitude. That should mark us out. So if we find ourselves moaning and complaining a bit, now sometimes it's right to moan and complain about things, but actually if we find ourselves doing that too much, that can start to sap our thankfulness. You know, I mean, we've got no end, haven't we, of moaning and complaining about COVID-19 and lockdown. But some astute people have pointed out that actually we're now experiencing what many people in the world experience. You know, those Christians who are persecuted for their faith often aren't able to meet publicly. When we were struggling to get food in the shops at the beginning, let's remember that for many, many people in the world, access to regular food is a real struggle. So actually, when we start to complain, if we take a moment to think, we should be turning back to thankfulness. And I guess that's all part of our mission, isn't it? Showing people that God makes a difference to our lives, that He changes us, that we're not the same people as we once were. And I think if we make the effort to demonstrate thankfulness and gratitude, both to God and to each other and to people out there in the community, then that's one of the things that people will notice. Yeah, because there is a lot of ingratitude out there. And as Christians, we want to make sure that we are not part of that. That actually we are continually grateful for God. So it's quite clear who the model is in this story, isn't it? It's not the 9 who get on with their lives. It's the one who came back to say thank you. I'm sure he went and had a good time afterwards. But he knew what God had done. He realised that how amazing the thing was that happened to him. And he responded appropriately. And when we think about the amazing things God has done for us, well, all we can do is give thanks and praise. Going to have our testimony slot now. Now, what I've asked you to do is, because we need to be careful about too many people coming up to the microphone, we're not having our testimony slot as usual where you come up, but I have asked people to email me stuff, and can I encourage you to keep doing that? If you've got great answers to prayer, or God's doing something in your life, or something really exciting is happening, or if you feel God's saying something that's important to you, then drop me an email. So Tess has done that, this, and I'd like to read out what she said. All through lockdown, the Holy Spirit was giving me opportunities to speak about Jesus to people who do not know Him as their Lord and Saviour. These opportunities were not forced, but the Holy Spirit would just give me a word to say to someone, which just led naturally on to speaking about Jesus. He was also working in my own life, as I'm sure He was in many others, to change my priorities. I've always prayed and read my Bible, but this went to a new level of prayer and just enjoying being in God's presence for hours. Jim's morning and evening prayer times have become the start and end of my day, which is then mainly filled with prayer, contemplation and phone calls, but it seems so right. Obviously not being perfect, days when I'm far from being a blessing, which I have to apologise, but I believe that is what God is calling me and the rest of us to increasingly be. So thanks, Tess, for sharing that, and it's a great testimony to how even in lockdown we may think there's not a great deal we can do, to build God's kingdom. But actually, through the conversations that we can have, guided by the Holy Spirit, there's a huge amount that we can do. And Tessa's picked out a song which she feels really expresses what she's trying to say. We're going to listen to it now.
Chosen the weak, Father, you have chosen the weak and the broken. These ones are the vessels to whom you command your strength. So we offer up our lives as your living sacrifices. Fill us with your Spirit now and send us out to bring the harvest in. Ambassadors of reconciliation, we're preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. To you we are the praises.
Prayer for today. Gracious Father, revive your church in our day and make her holy, strong, and faithful for your glorious sake. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just take a moment of silence. Chance for each one of us to say thank you for particular things that we want to thank God for. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all of the blessings that we have in him. We thank you for his healing power. We thank you for those who continue to offer healing in his name. And so we pray particularly for the leprosy mission, whom we support here at St. Peter's, and the wonderful way in which around the world they help people with leprosy in your name, bringing spiritual and practical support as well as medical treatment. We pray for those we know who need your healing touch, those who are unwell, those who are in hospital or awaiting hospital treatment, those who are struggling with their mental health, those who have been bereaved. Pray for the people who are dear to us, who we know really need your healing touch at the moment. Father, we pray for those parts of the world where there is much suffering. Remember especially Beirut, praying for that dreadful situation there. And we thank you for the opportunities that Barnabas Fund have to minister to Lebanese Christians at this time. Thank you that we're able to support them. And we pray for the work that Barnabas Fund are doing around the world, where, because of COVID-19, many Christians are being even more disadvantaged than usual. And we pray, Father, for our church and our local community, that we might be good news to people in our area, offering them practical support as well as bringing the good news of Jesus. We pray for all the ways we're doing that. We thank you for those people who are receiving craft packs. Pray that they would be a real blessing to them as in these long summer holidays. Pray for our older people in this hot weather. Pray that they would stay hydrated and stay well. And pray you'd help us to be good neighbours as we look out for those around us. Let's bring our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come to the end of our service, just a few things to flag up. Those of you who get my emails will know that we've got a special appeal going on for Barnabas Fund's work with Lebanese Christians, obviously really needed at the moment. You can give online or you can bring an offering in. We'll keep that offering open next week as well. So if you want to give some money, then that would be great. And all the money will go off to Barnabas Fund. Can I remind you that as we leave church today, we leave by the exit over there. And thanks to Sue Brooker, there is a large quantity of plums with some bags. If you want to take some plums, feel free to do so. Otherwise, they're going to go to waste. So hope that will be a blessing to you as well. Reminder, we have a service at St John's Welling at 6:30 this evening. You would be very welcome to join us. Let's stand and declare our faith in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessing, honour and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen.